The second reading of Parshas Kisisa begins with a description of the Luchos. Starts off so nice. God says to finish speaking to Moshe, gives him beautiful Luchos. We describe the virtues of the Luchos, how miraculous they were, how exact they were, how wonderful, how perfect. And it's all downhill from there. Perek Lamed Beis. People saw that Moshe had tarried in coming. Like it's brought down in some of the Rishonim. They said, he didn't see any manna falling on the mountain. So what could he have eaten for 40 days? If he didn't eat, he must have died. And anyway, he's late. How did they make a miscalculation? Because Moshe said 40 days. And they counted the first day that he went up as one of those days. The problem is, it's Leila Im Yoimai. 40 days means beginning at night, just like Shabbat begins on Friday night. So Leili Im Yoimai only began the next day. And so they were very concerned, and then the Satan started speaking to them. The weather became inclement and stormy and gloomy, and they said, this is a bad sign. And then they saw an image in the heavens of Moshe being carried, his bear being carried, and that's it. They were convinced the Moses man is not coming back. So they approach Aaron, and they say to Aaron, let's make a god. We need a god to go before us. We need a god to lead us, because Moshe, the man who took us out of Mitzrayim, we don't know what happened to him. So what's Aaron's response? Aaron says to them, Vayomer aleihem Aaron, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Beis, Aaron says, Parku nizmi hazov, unload the gold. You take the gold from the ears of your wives, Benechem, your sons, Benesechem, your daughters, V'haviyu Eloi. You'll bring that to me. Why did Aaron tell them where to get the gold from? Why did he just tell them, bring me all your gold? The answer is very simple. Who came? Who came? Who said we need a god? Who said make us a god? The men. So Aaron figured the men want to do this, the women don't want to do this. And actually they didn't. Not a single woman sinned. The kids definitely don't want to do this. So he says, you go to those people who don't want to do it. Why would they give the gold? And in this way, they'll be arguing with each other and fighting. Aaron was sure Moshe's coming back the next day anyway. So he figured he just has to keep delaying. Keep delaying. And that's what the Daz Zakenin, the Baal HaTosfos, says. That Aaron over here was L'shem Shamayim Miskaven. He had no bad intentions. He didn't want to make an idol. He said, bring me gold. Why did he say, bring me gold? He said, bring me gold, because he had to delay to stay the people. And they Aaron figured like this. They said, we need to replace Moshe. So Aaron said to himself, who could I appoint instead? Could I tell them to appoint Kalev, Moshe's brother-in-law, Miriam's husband? Or should I tell them maybe Nachshon and Aminadav? Then Moshe will come down. And then all of a sudden they were the leaders, and then they're not the leaders. There's going to be a huge politics. There'll be a huge war. Nobody likes to go down. The Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Shua, he said, if you would have told me to go up to the leadership, he said, I would have, if I don't remember the expression, done something violent. If you tell me to go down afterwards, I'll pour a pot of hot water over you. In other words, nobody goes down. Once you go up, nobody goes down. So he's going to pour Nachshon, Kolev. The Moshe comes back, then we have a huge issue. Then we have factions developing. This one follows that one. The one that follows the other one. That's not a good idea. So he figured, who knows what that could bring to. Elamai, so what should I do? So he said, well, I'll tell him to bring the gold. We'll do something that doesn't have a problem. It's no feeling, so to speak. They'll create some kind of icon, create some kind of imagery, and then Moshe comes back. We get rid of it. So I'll put that question in your head. What does that mean? What does it mean? You create some kind of icons. You create an idol? We're going to have politics. Let's create an idol. Does that make any sense? But that's what the Baal HaTosfos was saying. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that Aaron said, give me the gold. Why did he tell him, give me the gold that's in the ears of your wives and then your sons and daughters? But Rashi emphasizes the wives. Omar Aaron Belibi, Aaron said, Hanoshim Yelodim Chasim B'Tachshitem. They're not going to want to give away their gold. What, the sugar? I should give my gold away because you have a bad dream? You decided you need gold. I should give my gold away?
They all had a bad dream.
Well, it wasn't a dream, but I'm saying, This was the desire. You have a desire, I should give my gold away? Forget about it. I'm not doing that. Shema Yisaka Vadav. They'll say, absolutely not. Forget about it. I'm not doing it. And Betech Kach. And then as time goes on, by the time they say no, and you say yes, and then there's an argument that develops, in the meantime, Moshe will come already. Vahim Le Yimtina, but they didn't listen to Aaron. They went for Aaron's advice, but they didn't actually listen to Aaron, because Aaron said, he told them where to get the gold. In the end, they weren't stupid. They knew the wives not going to give them the gold. They didn't even go to the wives. What did they do? In the end, Parku Me'al Atzman, they gave their own gold away, which gives you an indication that the men those days wore some kind of jewelry. So they took off their own gold, and they brought that to Aaron. Rashi says the word parku can mean a command, and parku can also mean this is what they actually did. So here in this pasuk in verse Beis, it's lashon sivui, it's a command. It comes migzedes parek. It comes migzedes parek. Parek is will be a, for a single person would be parek es hazav, remove the gold, unload the gold liyachid. And it's kemoi baruchu, just like we say baruch is bless for a single, and baruchu is plural for many people to bless. So the same thing, the same idea over here. We have this idea of parek would be for a singular, parku is for the plural. Because parku, the next verse, it's parku, it's matter of fact, they're telling you what happened. That's the problem. You have the same word appearing twice, but in different tenses. Vayis parku. So in the first time this word parku shows up, Rashi says it's a command. But it's the reason it doesn't say parek, remove, is because it was many people. So it's parku, remove from all of you. Remove this gold from everybody, from the plural. So just like baruchu comes from Xeris Barech, so too parku comes from the word parek. All right, what happened? Well, what happened was, Vayisparku kolam esniz mehazov asher beoznehem. They took the gold. They took the gold that was in their own ears. They didn't listen to Aaron. Vayaviu al Aaron, they brought all that gold to Aaron. Rashi says, Vayisparku l'shem prikas masa. They unloaded. As if you were to say somebody who unloaded the donkey. Kishenatlu meyoznehem, when they took it from their ears, nimtzu heim mefeirokim in nizmehem. Now they were fleeced of their gold, emptied of their gold. And Rashi gives us a French word. And our resident Frenchman is not here again, so I don't know what that means. Anyway, discueillir or something. So now, fleece to the gold, empty to the gold, and they bring it to Aaron. Es nizmei, kemoi min nizmei. Es nizmei means they emptied the rings. So it's like, it's as if they were emptied of the rings. But when you want to say emptied of rings, you want to say emptied of the rings. That's why it says es. Kemoi kitzesi eser, when Moshe says, when I went out of the city, when I go out of the city, that's when I daven, that's how the word es comes in here. But really, they were the ones who were emptied. Not the rings were emptied. They were emptied of the gold. And that's it. And they come to Aaron, present themselves, and here we are. So the Mincha Belulah maintains that they did take everybody's gold. Why did the men have gold? They didn't have enough gold. He says they forced it off the wives. They forcibly, they grabbed the wives. They stole it for the wives. And that's why he said, Aznehem, they took possession. And the Kli Yakar says that Aaron told them where to get the gold. So they didn't follow Aaron. So they lied to Aaron. They came back and said, we got the gold. They gave us the gold. Now imagine what Aaron's thinking. Oy vey, they gave you the gold? I was banking, they wouldn't give the gold. They gave the gold. Now Aaron's really in a quandary. Before he thought he had the ladies to count on. They would be on his side. They wouldn't want to do this. They came along and said, everybody's on side with us. Everybody's going along with this. You're the odd one out. Everybody wants to do this. And because they lied and they said that they brought the gold, but in fact that wasn't the case. Really, it was their own gold. It wasn't the woman's gold. And now Aaron's faced with all this. What should he do? What would you do? So Aaron takes this gold, vayikach miyado, takes it from the hands, vayotzar oisei bacheret. And I'm not going to translate those words. He did something. We'll soon see what that might mean. He did something, vayaseyu egel. Made an eagle, made a calf. And I'm an eagle masecha, a molten calf. Vayoimru, and they said, oh, Eile Lecha Yisrael. This is your God, Israel. See that? This is your God. This is your God, Asher He'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the God that took you out of Egypt.
It says plural here.
Yes, it does say plural. These are the gods. Okay, what's going on here? This has got to be one of the strangest verses in the Torah. In verse 3, the Jewish people are just behaving, misbehaving, but that's pretty common. Whatever, Aaron said, get the gold, they got the gold, don't bring the gold, bring somebody else's gold. All right. In verse 4, everything unravels. The whole Jewish people goes down the tubes. They make an idol. Aaron makes an idol. He does something. And then after he does something, make an idol. And the next thing you know, they're saying, this is your God. Next thing they create an idol. And stupidly, they say, this is the God that took you out of Egypt. How could it be a God that took you out of Egypt? It was just created 5 minutes ago. The whole thing makes no sense. Vayar Aaron sees what happened. Vayivim Mizbeach, he builds an altar. Vayikra Aaron, he says, Chag L'Hashem Mocher. Okay, tomorrow. Not today. Today we built. Tomorrow we're going to have a big festivity. What was Aaron hoping? He's hoping by tomorrow Moshe Rabbeinu comes. And indeed, there will be a Chag L'Hashem. There'll be a festival for God. But that's not what happened. They woke up at dawn and they got going. Before Aaron was there, they were already there. As we hear in verse 6, Vayishkimu Mocheras, they got up very early. Vialo Elis, they began to bring offerings. Vayagishu Shlomim, they brought peace offerings. Vayeshev Ha'am Lechel, all of a sudden they're having steak in the morning. So they got drunk. Vayakumu Letzachek, bad news. So everything unravels very, very quickly. We're going to try to focus on verse 4 now and understand what happened here. Let's take a look in Rashi. First thing we need to know is what exactly did Aaron do? Vayotzer Oisei Becheret. So Rashi says, this pasuk, these three words, what Aaron did, Yesh L'sargimai B'shnei Eponim. It could be interpreted in two different ways, two very different ways actually, as we're soon going to see. And neither way fully satisfies the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Neither way fully addresses the verbiage that's used. And that's why Rashi feels comfortable only after giving you both interpretations rather than just one, which is unusual. Usually Rashi gives one interpretation. Here, everything seems so off that Rashi can only satisfactorily give you an explanation if he gives you two polar opposite explanations. Ha'echad, one explanation is Vayotzar, the word Vayotzar is Lashain Kshira. It means he tied. So he tied the gold. How do you tie gold? So Becheret, according to this interpretation, is Lashain Sudar, means a piece of fabric. Kimoi, for example, like we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says Vahamitbaches, Vahacharitim, speaking about different types of clothing, speaking about kerchiefs and scarves. So over there, just like mitbeches and charitim mean scarves and kerchiefs, so too, cheret would mean a piece of cloth as well. Vayotzer, or another example where we find that it means tying, it says vayotzer kikorim kesef b'shnei charitim. This is speaking about, in the book of Kings, Naaman, who is the general of the mighty armies of Aram. It says that he tied 2 talents of silver in 2 different kerchiefs and 2 bundles, and he gave it to Gehazi, who was the attendant of Elisha Hanavi. And of course Elisha's not very happy about that, but that's another story. Okay, so we have 2 examples in the scripture from the book of Kings and from the book of, well, actually both in the book of Isaiah and the book of Kings. In the book of Yeshayahu Hanavi, we see that cheret can mean a fabric, can mean a kerchief, a piece of cloth. And vayotzer, we see, could mean tying together in a cloth. So it's certainly not the simple way of understanding these words. Nobody who speaks Hebrew will tell you, if you say vayotzer eisei becheret, what does that mean? It's very, very unusual for somebody to say vayotzer. Oh, he tied. What does vayotzer usually mean? The word vayotzer comes to the word tzior, image, picture, to draw, to sculpt. That's what the word means. A tzayar is an artist. A tailor is not a tzayar. A chayat is a tailor. So the fact that vayotzer means to tie together is certainly the unusual, from the verbiage here, it's the unusual. From syntactically, it makes more sense that Aaron would have tied all the gold up. Figure he'll tie all the gold up, throw the gold in the fire, and see what happens. And unfortunately for Aaron, we'll soon see what happened. Something happened which caused all of this to kind of spin out of control. So that's the first interpretation. Vasheni, the second is vayotzar l'shein tzura. The word vayotzar comes from the terminology of made a form. What is a cheret? Cheret is kli umanus hatzorfim shechertzin v'chertin. The cheret is the tool that's used by a goldsmith who would make forms out of gold, or make imagery, stamp the markings of gold. So chertzin v'chertin tzuras bekesef. Ke'et sofer hacheret oisis beluchas. Like a pen, but not a pen as in a feather, because really when it's ink, it's called a feather in antiquity. What was a pen called? And people would engrave on clay. They would write on clay. And they would, so to speak, it would be indentation in the clay tablets. So this is the same kind of thing. Just like you use, let's say, a piece of wood to write, a wooden pen to write on clay tablets, you use a piece of metal to make a mark or an image on gold. So we're working with the gold, the goldsmithy tool. Kimoi, for example, we find this, it says, Uchsev alav becheret enish. There, Yeshayahu Navi is told, take parchment and write, or take a tablet and write in the tablet as people write, so people could read. Vezehu shetirgem unkulis. This is as unkulis rendered it. The tsar yosei bezifa, which means that he made an image, a molten image. he made a form with a tool that's used to make form. Lashon ziyuf. Ziyuf means to make a copy, a replica. And you make replicas or copies by making a form which is like the original form. This is the kind of tool you would use to engrave into gold or form into the gold letters or perhaps little pictures. Like the idea, like it literally means almonds, but it means like little markings or ornaments. Shekodim belaz, and once again we get a French word. I don't know what it means. Nile. Umezayfen al yodei chesamais, and it's through this tool that you can actually make like seals, embossing. Mm-hmm. Form of making embossing. Ego masecha, a molten idol. So Rashi says, now we have to explain this. According to the first interpretation, if Aaron took a bunch of gold, tied it up in fabric, threw it into a fire, how did a golden calf come out? That makes no sense. It sounds good for Aaron. He didn't make a golden calf. But what happened there? So Rashi has a burden of explaining. If vayotze becheret means tied up in the fabric, and he threw it in, how did a gold calf come out? So Rashi says, bo mechashve erev rav, people who are practitioners or experts of black magic from the erev rav, from the mixed multitude who joined the Jewish people in the 11th hour as they were leaving Mitzrayim, they came along and asa'uha b'kshofim, they made it by using black magic, whatever that means, able to manipulate natural forces, and out of this gold as it melted, a calf rose. V'yeshemrim, others say that this was the deed of Micha, Micha Hayesham. Micha was a child who was saved by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Sheyotza, that he was taken out mitech dimusei habinyan, the monsters, the Egyptians, mamash like the Nazis, they would take babies, and they couldn't get rid of the babies fast enough, and they would build them into the wall, alive, cement them into the wall, live babies, and let the baby starve to death, cry till it died. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees a baby built into a wall, and he can't take it. And he says to God, I'm going to save the baby. And God says, leave the baby. Moshe doesn't listen to Hashem. He can't. The baby can't. Takes the baby out. And who this baby? This baby became the source of all the sorrow for the Jewish people. This baby destroyed our nation, quite literally. What happened with this baby is, so he followed around Moshe around the morning of leaving Mitzrayim. The morning of leaving Mitzrayim, what did they have to do? They had to get the coffin of Yosef. Where was Joseph's coffin? In a man-made lake. Because the Egyptians knew they wouldn't leave it at Joseph. They put him in a heavy lead coffin which sank to the bottom of a body of water. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on a piece of metal, Alei Shar, arise ox. Because this is Yosef is metaphorically in the blessings of Yaakov, he's compared to an ox. And Moshe Rabbeinu threw this plate that he had written with his own hand onto the water, and miraculously coffin came to the top. So Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible. He took the coffin out. This little Micha, he took that Tas, he had this tablet, this piece of metal. Shakosav Mesha, Meshavot Alei Shar Alei Shar. She wrote those words, Arizaks. Lahale Sarei Nishal Yosef, which Moshe used to bring up the coffin of Yosef. And he got it, Mitech Nilas, from a tributary of the Nile River. Vehishlichi Letech HaKur. When Aaron threw the gold into the fire, Micha surreptitiously threw this Tas into the fire as well. When you have something written by the hand of Moshe, it says, arise ox, an ox arose. An ox arose. And that's how it happened. So these explanations are all for the first interpretation. The second interpretation, you don't need these explanations. It says, Aaron made a golden, a molten calf. Masecha Rashi says, Lashamateches. This comes from the term of molten, of metal. Dovracha, another way of understanding Masecha, is to tell you that the weight was Kuf Chafhei, 125 cantor and centurions of Zav Hayavei. Enormous amount of gold. Kigematria, which is like the numeric equivalent of Masecha. It says, Ela Elohecha, this is your gods. But if the Jewish people said it, what should it have said? Ela Eloheinu, this is our gods. Why did it say your gods? The people made the golden calf. They just say it's our gods. So Rashi says, no. Lo nemar ela Eloheinu. The Jewish people didn't say this is our god. Mikan, from here you could understand, She'erov Rav Shalom Mitzrayim, that this was orchestrated by the Erov Rav. And the Erov Rav said, this is your god, Israel. This is your god. This is it. This is the god that took you out of Egypt. And this way, Haim Shenekalar, and we now know that it was really the Erov Rav, it was the mixed multitude who had just joined the Jewish people, who were clueless, who didn't really understand, they didn't really have the background, who so to speak, rallied against Aaron. The Haim Shasu, they're the ones who made the golden calf. The Acharkach Hitu as Yisrael Achrav, and they tricked or missiled the Jewish people to follow them. So that's the story of the golden calf. Now, if you want to say the story of the golden calf is that Aaron threw into the fire, hoping for the best. I don't know what he expected, but he had to somehow delay the people. Okay, but according to the interpretation that Aaron actually formed, how could this be? Incidentally, Ibn Ezra follows that first that interpretation of Rashi. He says that Vayotzar is Lashon Tzura, and Aaron made the imagery. Aaron made the imagery. There's no question about that. So, how do we work that out? How could it be Aaron would do something like that? Incidentally, with regard to the notion of Ela Elohecha Yisrael, how could that be? How could it be a God who took you out of Egypt? It doesn't make any sense. So the Kliyokar says, the Erev Rav told them, it's all about zodiacs. It's all about different imagery, different months. He said, this is the zodiac of Mazel Shur, what they call Taurus. So this is Taurus. This is the Mazel, the force of Taurus. And this is an example of Taurus. That's all it is. This is a manifestation of the power called Taurus, which is kind of fits very snugly into the idea of Ovid Kechavim Umazolus. Avodah Zarah was called worshipping the stars, the constellations. So this is Taurus, manifestation of physical manifestation of Taurus. All right, we got to dig ourselves out of this. So what happened here? What was Aaron thinking? So let's try to do this quickly because we are late. Pei Biurim book, page Shinhei. The Rebbe asks about this interpretation. How could it be? How could it be? I use the terminology pre-Olympic gold because the Olympics, by the way, are also Avodah Zarah. It's all based on Avodah Zarah. The worship of Zeus and Apollo and all that stuff. So the question there is, of course, how is it possible that Aaron did something like this? It does not seem to make any sense whatsoever. Number one. Number two, Peter Zed, this interpretation, seems to actually contradict what says elsewhere in the scripture. For example, we have a pasuk later on in the same chapter where Aaron says, "Va'ashlicheu ba'esh," I threw it into the fire. "Va'yetzi egel hazeh," I didn't know what happened. And this egel came out. Moshe said, "What did you do? How'd you do this? How'd you make the people an idol?" I said, I don't know. I just threw it in the fire. I didn't do it. It just came out. So in the first interpretation, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, he didn't do it. Threw in the fire, it came out. But the second interpretation, that Aaron made it. You made it. What are you talking about? Now you blame, you know what happened? You took a goldsmithing tool. You formed an eagle. You made the calf. And then it said, I don't know what happened. This eagle came out of. Where did the eagle came out of? So the Rebbe says that the Biur Bazeh, the understanding of this is al yaseid hamur mefarshim, based what says in mefarshim. And here the Rebbe sends us off to the Tirish Lema. Tirish Lema in Miluim brings down from a number of the Ga'inim and Rishonim that Aaron was l'shem shemayim niskaven. Aaron had every good intention. He did not intend to get the Jewish people to worship idols. So the Psaji Gaon says that Aaron was trying to create some kind of imagery that would focus the people so that they would worship Hashem. It was all about creating something focal to catch their attention, so instead of being all over the place, and then through that they would worship Hashem. The Psaji Gaon says that this is similar to the people in India who think that they're not actually worshiping the statue of their Buddha or whatever. They believe in spirits, shamans. But they believe that the imagery, that the statue, somehow links you, becomes like a satellite dish to the spirit out there. So they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping a spirit. But the image that they worship, the idol they worship, becomes a manifestation of the spirit they're trying to worship. So the Reb Psaji Gaon says, similarly, Aaron thought he would make some kind of image, something, and that would be a way for them to connect to God. So he didn't want to make an idol. And this is, of course, they wanted to replace Moshe, remember. They didn't worship Moshe. They believed that Moshe would give them guidance. Moshe would give them clarity. Moshe would help them serve Hashem. So Aaron said, you want to replace Moshe? Fine, we'll have this imagery, and it will help you to connect to Hashem. That's all Aaron intended to do. The Teresh Leib brings in also that if you take a look in the Ibn Ezra, he explains this at length. He says, heaven forfend that Aaron should want to make an idol. He said, even the Jewish people didn't want to make an idol. And he brings down that the Abarbanel quotes this from both Ibn Ezra and the Kuzari, who were father-in-law and son-in-law. And he says something very interesting. The Kuzari says, surely these were great sages who spent a lot of time together in Tudelo in Spain, and they spoke many times words of Divrei Torah, and eventually they committed their words and their teachings to writing. But it's the same teachings, he says. It's the same. This was the popular approach of the Spanish sages. This is the way they understood it. And the Teresh Lema says that we actually later found in our times a Mechilta de Rashbi, manuscript of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and the manuscript from the teaching of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it says clear over there that they did not want to make a god, as in an abominable idol, rather they wanted to focus their attention onto God.
They called the let's make a god.
They called the let's make a god, but it was really, so he says this is the meaning of the, it says, Le'yasa pesel v'chol tmuna. What does it mean, don't make any kind of idol? Any kind of idol means even if it's L'shem Shemayim. That was the prohibition. Don't make idols even for good reasons. But they didn't get that. And they could have known, according to one opinion, they knew about that there was going to be a Mishkan. The general ideas. There's three schools of thought. But according to that, what did the Keruvim do? The Keruvim are actually the satellite dish through which God communicated to Moshe. So there was these figurines, and through the figurines, God was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they wanted something like Keruvim, something similar.
Through the figurines, it was between them.
Fine. You had, between them means but you have to have two Keruvim on either side to be between them. So they wanted something to focus, and this something would focus them, and God would communicate to them through it, and they would worship God. This is in the Rebbe's words here, as they're redacted in the Beauty of Chumash, Kavanosan Shal Bnei Yisrael, the intention of the Jewish people when they said, Kum asei lanu alikim, make us a god, l'hoysel avayda zara mamash. They didn't go that far. They wanted to make avayda zara. Mimutza, they wanted to make an intermediary. They were just looking to tachlif l'moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted something to take the place of Moshe. They said, because zeh Moshe ha'ish asher halonu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yodana mahayolei. So we don't know what happened to the Moses man. Moses took us out. We don't know what happened to him. They didn't say we don't know what happened to God. They didn't say God died. They didn't say God disappeared. They said Moses was gone. They were trying to replace Moses, not God. V'rakla achar mekein. But the problem was, this spun out of control. And the nigru chelik mehem, a portion of the Jewish people, then all of a sudden, took this to an extreme. And they weren't worshiping or getting or paying homage to something, respecting something that would be an intermediary that would focus them and link them and help them come close to God. Instead, they focused only on the idol itself. And the idol became the object of their homage and of their worship.
Did the Jews do anything with idols in Egypt?
Yeah, for sure they worshiped idols in Egypt.
They worshiped idols.
For sure. It says clear. V'nimtza eifayim, that little Micha guy was worshiping an idol when they walked through the Reed Sea. So it comes out, shagam lafi hapita sha'aron yotza ba'atzmei tzura se'egel, even according to the interpretation, Aaron did make this molten figure. He did it himself. L'hoysa zu'adayin tzura se'avei dezare. He did not make an idol. What did he make? He made something that would be an aid, an assistance, help for the Jewish people. He was creating their satellite dish so they can communicate with God. He didn't want to make them an idol. He wanted to be able to connect to God. Aaron was just trying to help the people connect to God. And that's the meaning. The Rebbe says, here's a chiddush from the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains the pasuk chav dalet. It says, "Vashlichei ubeish." The Rebbe's question is, according to this interpretation, how do you, the words later, Aaron seems to deny this. Aaron himself says it's not the case. He says, "I threw it into the fire." So what, do you have an interpretation of our sages that because it sounds like he may use a form? Because becheret doesn't naturally mean a piece of fabric. Instead, it means a smithy tool. Aaron himself says he threw it in. Look, why is there a need for two interpretations? So the answer is, Aaron says, "Vashlicheyu, I threw it into the fire." Vayetze ha'egel hazeh. Doesn't say vayetze ha'egel. Doesn't say the calf came out. He says vayetze ha'egel hazeh. This calf came out. The problem is this calf. I didn't make this calf. He said, I don't know where this calf came from. Omnam, Aaron yatzer esurus ha'egel ba'atzme. Aaron did make the form of the egel. Aval ha'egel hazeh. This egel, egel that they worship. This is. I didn't do that. That's the eagle of Edezorah. That was never his intention. That as if emerged out of nowhere. It spun out of control. I don't know what happened over here. How did this come? Where did the eagle come from? That's the meaning of Ashlicheo. I threw it into the fire. I threw it into the fire. I threw it into the fire. I formed it. But the eagle Azed, this eagle that came out, this is not what I was doing. Because that was Moshe Sataran. How could you have done this? How could you make an idol? I come a day late. You make an idol? How'd you go so far? So Aaron said, I didn't make an idol. I made kruvim. I made a calf. I wanted to help them focus. But somehow, this is what came out. This is what we call a Maisa Satan. And everything went down from there. And then the rest of the reading is how Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with God and eventually does obtain Hashem's pardon. And then when afterwards we hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming reconciled with the Jewish people. A lot more basic.